Sport. You're listening to AFL Saturday on your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and ABC Listen. This is AFL Saturday.
The showdown delivers again. Does it deserve its own standalone slot now? What about the Dockers? They roar back from 26 down and then hang on at the finish. How serious are they as a contender? And what about the Pies and the Hawks back on Thursday night? They split the points. The age-old debate about who won the draw and who lost it and whether we need extra time. And Greg Swan, the head of footy at the AFL, says the umpiring is as good as it's been for a long time. Well, we've got some questions already out of round eight. All of that ahead on AFL Saturday through ABC Sport.
Jackson pops it up. Top of the goal square. They all fly. Hits the deck. Bolton! Showtime Shea left it to the final 2 minutes of the game. And he delivers the knockout blow.
Cook runs inside the forward 50. Would this be the winner? Oh, what is he cooking? What are we seeing in Showdown 59? Braden Cook puts the Crows back in front with 11 seconds to go.
Tommy Wilson on the call last night, just absolutely nailing that as Braden Cook sent through the winner. We thought Joe Berry had kicked that moment earlier. Two goals in the last minute of the game to swing the lead. Both times, first the power away and then back in favour of the Crows to get home by a solitary point. That's where we might start. We've got a whole lot to get through and we've only got 25 minutes of truncated show. It's an early start at Dockland, Saturday footy in round eight, Essendon and the Brisbane Lions, the first game on the slate, and there is no late change for the early fixture. My name's Corbin Middlemass, in the house with the youngest Essendon Premiership player on planet Earth, Adam Ramanaskis. Hello, Ram.
Good afternoon. Oh, yeah, good afternoon. Now it is. What a fun night it was last night watching the footballs. The game here at the Docklands and then flicking the channel over and watching the last quarter of the Crows and the Power. Just football is fun.
It's been a hot start to the round, hasn't it?
It has,
when you think about a draw on Thursday night, two goals last night, big wild momentum swings, both teams led by more than four goals at different stages, the Dockers and the Dogs, and then obviously the thrilling finish at Adelaide Oval. The dual All-Australian Richmond champion, GWS footballer, player agent to the Stars with Max Sports, one of the best analysts in the game, Brett Dilidio, with
Corp.
A rare Saturday appearance here on ABC Sport. Hello, Lids.
I've already been given the lowdown, mate, that this is a fun day to be a part of, and I was lucky enough to do it with you guys over in Gather Round.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to a few laughs. We've already had one of the guys that we're calling with later dirty up a little bit early.
Yes.
So he's going to be in the crosshairs throughout the whole day, mate. You either pick yourself up or you continue to stay sulky and the boots will stay laid
in. Well, we drew the battle lines and you know, Ben wants to be on that side of it.
We'll
sort that out in about half an hour's time.
It was another hot showdown, the 59th edition. So Adelaide pull three clear in the head-to-head record. It's amazing how this has been even almost the entire way through in the history of the two clubs in South Australia. Andrew Dillon was given a warm welcome when he was shown on the big screen last night. Here's how it played out on ABC Sport.
And Andrew Dillon on the big screen. He's been booed by the Crows fans.
Everyone's getting a serve tonight.
Anarchy here at Adelaide Oval.
It wasn't without controversy, but the Adelaide Crows get home by a single point. What is it about this game and this rivalry that just keeps delivering time and time again?
Well, I think it's bragging rights, no doubt, in that state. And I think bragging rights are pretty loud in South Australia. So, but, you know, again, it's simply a rivalry that's real. Clearly the two clubs don't really like each other, and I think over the years certain players haven't really liked each other either, so you know that draws the rivalry really into the focus. But I think what I love about it is the football goes to another level in those games. It's not like it goes down a level and the game's close. It goes up a level, the game, and they're
second half, surely. The first half was a tough watch. I flicked over halfway through the other one and it was like, just errors and
four goals to three.
Yeah, not exactly high scoring, but it is. And like, I can only compare it to another rivalry that I've played in, the Giants and the Swans one, that there is that genuine hatred for the opposition that you're coming up against. And it is the bragging rights. I think you're right, Ram, that There's the genuine feeling in it, which it's hard to manufacture, you know, for all 17 other clubs that you're playing against.
76 beat 75. There were 80 tackles in the game, or 80 tackles laid by Berry. Adelaide.
Sam Berry laid 20 or 19 himself,
incredible,
which is phenomenal.
He picks up his first showdown medal, had 29 disposals to go along with his 19 tackles and 17 of those contested. So the Crows winners last night in the City of Churches. Ray Chamberlain's going to join us shortly, and we'll get to Ray on a few little controversial moments that happened in that game. There was an arc review. There was also a goal that got cancelled out for Wayne Miller late in the piece with 2 minutes 30 to go, as Josh Rochelli had a little shove on the goal line. So we'll pick apart all of that in just a moment with Ray. To Docklands last night, the Dogs led this game by 26 points. It was a rare Friday night in Melbourne for Fremantle. It's only the 16th time in club history. So this is a team that entered the competition in 1995. They've only played 16 Friday night games in Melbourne. So there's a couple of reasons why their record's so poor in this situation. They'd only won three of them previously. It was their fourth win last night. It's often a short week coming across the country. So if you play, you know, Saturday, Sunday the week before, you're coming off 5 or 6 days. And yet it also is another environment where the eyes of the nation are on you. So it serves as a great litmus test to see sort of where they are in the pecking order of the competition. I thought that was a huge win last night for the Dockers. To fall that far behind, the team they're playing is off an 8-day break. They're off a 6-day break. You would be forgiven for thinking, oh, it's just not going to be their night. They've been up for a long period of time. They won six in a row, but no, they weren't going to accept their fate. They kicked seven unanswered goals leads either side of three-quarter time. And
some of them great goals too.
Found a way to win.
Hayden Young. Stop it. Yeah. And you can... early on in the game, I'm thinking, oh, this kid, you know, even last week a little bit, is like, there's a lot of pressure on him. You know, he's been injured and he's like, he's the Messiah almost. And, you know, I hope he doesn't feel that and carry that through. He's like, oh, what if I'm not performing? But I tell you what, didn't he insert himself late in that game? Won some big moments, even that goal running to the other end where, you know, kicked it from just about inside this or outside from the centre bounce, just outside 50. But then that left foot Bunana, that was pretty classy, wasn't it? But even, I think Shea Bolton's gone to a new level as well. His inside to outside work is what separates him from, you know, Sarong and Brayshaw, I think.
You can't tackle him.
You can't, mate. He swerves and ducks and bobs and weaves and then gets out. But he won twos and then he goes that extra, you know, not just a 50-metre kick, but he's getting that extra 20 or 30 as well with his run. So,
well, his numbers last week against Carlton and this week against the Bulldogs in the last quarter, I think he's had something like 25 possessions and goals and metres gained. And also, he's just been unbelievable for the Dockers in fourth quarters over the past 2 weeks.
You got two votes last night in the ABC Footballer of the Year. Who do you think got the top votes, Leds?
It wasn't Bont again, was it?
The Bont again. So Mark Murphy gave him three votes against the Swans. Last night, less arguments. Cameron Ling had him on top in a losing course. But they had to do it multiple ways last night, Freo. So they fell behind. They then had to come all the way back. Huge momentum in their favour. And then when they seemingly had the game in their keeping, they weren't able to shut it down. The Dogs got on a run, kicked four in a row. There was 5 points of difference with 3 minutes 30 to go. Plenty of time left in the game for it to go the other way. Bolton bobs up and ultimately kicks the winner. So they not only Rammer had to come from behind, they then had to hold on at the finish and then win it again late.
Well, I thought the hold on when the Bulldogs threatened in those last moments. Luke Ryan, an intercept mark. I think Wagner, an intercept mark.
Yeah.
You know, just to steady the ship. So, and I speak about this quite often, is that deep in games when Fremantle really need it, they reference back to their defence with what they've learned under Justin Longmuir since the very beginning. And in those final moments, they certainly did.
So 11 goal kickers, Voss and Amos didn't kick one.
No. Yeah.
Really positive signs for Freo. We had Andy Brayshaw with his post-game last night. There was a little controversial moment where he kicked a goal and was celebrating with his big key forward, Josh Tracy, and just slipped past Tracy's hands and got him in the eye with an errant finger. Andy Brayshaw was quizzed about it by Tim Hodges on ABC Sport last night.
He loves celebrating, and he's been poked in the eye twice now celebrating, once from Vossi and now once from me, so I thought for a little bit there I was going to accost us by sending off our big key forward, but he was able to come back on and have a few more good contests for us.
It was a hell of a goal by you. When did you realise, oh God, I've done something really bad here?
When I turned around and he was on the ground, I think, or grabbing his face or something. So I went back to him, checked that he was all right, and then we both went off and I gave him a little hug and a kiss.
He was also asked about the quarter-time spray from Justin Longmuir, something we rarely see, how animated he was out there with his group at quarter-time. This is what Andy had to say on that.
It was up there. A couple of choice words to some of us. So
It realigned us to, you know, basics, contest, being strong. And, no, we were able to wrestle things back into our momentum and, managed to get the win.
What do they want for Fremantle? If you're looking at them in terms of being a premiership team in the complete unit,
yep.
Where are their flaws? Where are their weaknesses?
It's hard to see. At the moment, I think the biggest thing is their three big forwards. If they can get them, you don't have to always be firing. As they weren't last night, I think you can be found out. I think that's where Adelaide ultimately got found out. Not just their key forwards, but I think the addition of Bolton and Young there now into their midfield gives them a way different look in terms of their dynamics, you know, their ability to get inside to out and actually play a little bit faster and freer. Their biggest problem is just being too defensive at times, I think, and too safe with the ball, maybe.
I think maybe a lockdown mid.
Can Brayshaw be that? Like what?
But what I'm saying, if that's Bont in a final, you want to shut that down, don't you?
Yeah.
Like he was dominant in the first half, particularly.
Yeah, 15 in the first quarter. Yeah,
the way he played that, if that's in a final, that might be a long road. That might be a longer road back than trying to do that last night as they did.
But you look at Brisbane today,
who we're going to watch. Like Josh Dunkley can go and do that. He can go and get the ball and all that, but he can also go to Marcus Bontempelli and shut him down.
All the top teams, I think, they have someone who they can then go and. Yeah. Collingwood probably the exception.
Yes. It was a great comparison during the week. I've quoted it a couple of times across the weekend from Nathan Brown on Channel 9 that showed Brayshaw's numbers comparative to Trent Cotchin in 2017, where he's down in total disposals, up in tackles and one percenters. So maybe he's playing a revised role, a little more of a selfless.
Well, when you got Young and Bolton coming up, as Liz said, well...
And Murphy Reid spitting through the middle as well.
Well, read the room almost, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Let's go back to Thursday night. It ended in a draw after the bell as Dylan Moore went back and knocked through a free kick that he received from his namesake, Darcy Moore, with a tackle over the shoulder. Both coaches were asked about whether they were glass half full or glass half empty at the end of the game, Sam Mitchell and Craig McRae in the aftermath.
The glass is exactly in the middle for me, which is why it's a difficult feeling.
Playing in one of the best teams in the competition. Glass do you want to drink, the half empty one or the half full one? Yeah, we're definitely half full, and top me up because we've got a bit more coming.
Top me up, we got a bit more coming, Craig McRae in the aftermath. We asked the other night, Lids, you worked the game with us on ABC Sport. Who won, who lost the draw, who should feel better about the 2 points?
Collingwood should feel better. Yeah, I think Hawthorn left one on the table given their numbers. And I think that's what Sam Mitchell was probably alluding to. And you look at his numbers, but a minute to go, they're a goal down and they shouldn't have won or even halved that game. So you've got to take the positives in that. But
I've always thought you got to look at a draw. It's a result.
Yep.
You get points in the season. Now, so what a draw does, it takes away percentage for that team. If no other teams have a draw within the season, well, you've got that half-game buffer somewhere. Yep. So your percentage then just is completely irrelevant.
So you like it?
Yeah.
Yep. I don't mind the draw. Yeah.
The only way I'd change it, Lids, if it became a golden goal. Not golden point, golden goal.
Right.
First team to kick a goal.
Who gets to decide who kicks which way? I mean, in modern stadiums in the AFL,
just flip a coin again.
Do it and get the coin back out.
That's tough if you're playing that down in Lonnie or somewhere.
Yeah, but that's the only way I'd change it.
Would you have had a different feeling as a player? I think, Lids, you played in...
I played in six.
Six of them.
I think I played in one, maybe. Right. Lloydie missed the goal after the signing as the Bulldogs here.
Did you feel that way at the time? Like, the minute the game ends, would you have wanted to keep going or would you happy just to walk off?
You'd be happy for not the sign to finish. Like, if they know that it's a draw and that it's end of time, just let it keep going until the next score wins.
Next score wins.
Yeah.
Dylan Moore and Jack Crisp were both with us on ABC Sport with Ben Cameron on Thursday night post-game, and naturally they were both asked about the concept of extra time.
I'd love extra time, to be honest. The weirdest thing is you're standing on the ground, both teams, and there's no song getting played. So you're kind of just there, crowds left, and you come into the rooms, and our families weren't even down here yet. So it's quite a numb feeling, and yeah, I'd love extra time.
Look, I'm all for it. I feel like I could keep going. I feel great at the moment. Some blokes probably would disagree. But, yeah, as you know, it's a dull feeling with the draw. You obviously would probably rather win and lose. For me, I would, because it feels like we lost. Probably because we're in a good position to win the game. Might be different if we were kind of down and then had the last shot to draw.
Hamstring for Harry Perryman, so it looks like your standard 21-day garden variety hammy. For Darcy Cameron, he's been cleared of structural damage on his ankle. So we saw the knee on knee contact, but it was his ankle that was getting assessed on the bench, and steel side bottom was stepped on and had
double hamstring for the Hawthorn doctor, torn off the tendon.
Andrew Lambert.
So
that was comical. Oh, I felt that. I did feel for him
as well. Poor bugger.
I've got this written down here. Yep. So hamstring tendon damage, both hammies.
Yeah, he's having. I believe he's having surgery on Tuesday. Yeah.
Amazing. So he's going to miss the trip to Perth. He's missed very few games over the years. You were very empathetic the other night, Lids. Yes. I think the rest of us are all we're all going down.
Only because I know the man, and I know the respect that a lot of the Hawks boys have for him. He was great for me when I was there with my calves when I was there for 6 months. You know, so I was empathetic to the cause because I could see he was just trying to get off the ground. It just looked like an older fella that slipped and hurt himself, you know.
Yep. And from an on-field perspective, hopefully James Sicily's okay. He too had an issue.
He looked terrible late.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Late in the piece. This is AFL Saturday on ABC Sport. Corbin Middlemass, Adam Ramanauskas, Brett Dilidio, Ben Cameron to join us for the call shortly. It is Essendon and Brisbane. It's an early start, so we're 15 minutes away from the bounce. The umpires are out there, and our umpire is here as well. The man who officiated close to 400 games, 3 grand finals. He's part of our team now on ABC Sport. He rides the boundary every Saturday afternoon. His name is Razor Ray Chamberlain. G'day, Ray.
G'day, Corb. G'day, gents. How are we today?
We are very well. It's a big week for you, I can imagine, with everything going on at AFL House, where Greg Swan comes out and says the umpiring is as good as it's been for a long time. What do you make of that mission statement from the head of footy at the AFL?
I don't want to yuck Swanee's yum, but I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
We'll leave it there. There's four controversial things to pick apart from the weekend. First of all, take us back to Thursday night. So Cam McKenzie, late in the piece, finds himself wandering alongside the man who's just taken the mark in steel side bottom, about 55 out. The umpire deems he's in the protected zone, and as a result, he's marched 5 metres out from goal, knocks it through. Collingwood lead by 7 with only a handful of minutes left. Was it the right call to penalise Cam McKenzie for being in the protected zone?
Yeah, look, for me, what's really important to differentiate is that I heard a lot of chat about it being for stand. Cam McKenzie starts outside the protected area, which is 5 metres behind the player with the ball and then 10 metres either side laterally. So he starts outside the protected area and then rolls through. And so in that situation there, if the umpire thinks that he's come inside that 10-metre area laterally, he has to pay 50. Now, for me, I look at it and I go, is it 9.7? Is it 10.3 metres? I'd need the lab to, you know, whip it up. For me, I don't think we need umpire intervention when it's in that area. If it's not a hell yeah, it's an absolute no for mine. But just to be really clear, McKenzie starts outside the protected area and all he's got to do is just veer slightly to his left and give the umpire something to hang his hat on. So for me, it might be technically correct. The main thing that I want to get across is that that's what the 50 was paid for, not for a stand issue.
It's amazing how few of the rules that we all know on this front.
So it was 5. It's 10 metres, right? Yeah. Not 5. So we were
laterally, 10, and then behind the man on the mark and behind the player with the football, it's 5.
That's where we buggered it up on Thursday night.
Correct. But how stupid is that? So I would think that, and again, we see so many games, and yet we don't know the rules. You can imagine how many other people out there that are in the same position. Why would it not be a consistent radius, whether it's 10 metres from the guy with the ball or the man on the mark? Like, it's amazing that it's 5 this way, Ray, but it's 10 that way and 10 that way and then 5 the other way. It's kind of, it's almost like a rectangle more than it is a circle around the ball carrier.
Well, the point around the 10 laterally is because, you know, if you've got, you know, let's say you've got, I'm going to use an old name, Aaron Sanderland's rolling along 5 metres on the lateral and you want to kick it on the 45, you got to kick the thing 3.5, 4 metres in the air to get over him. And so then that press up D, they'll just turn that over and they're on the super highway straight down the middle of the ground for a goal. So it's about trying to afford the player with the football greater opportunity, not to go long down the line, punch it out in a boundary throw in or back around in circles. So it's about trying to promote ball movement, which I don't have a problem with.
Ray, I know umpires don't have a measuring tape in their pocket, but how do you actually judge the metres, the 5 metres and the 10 metres?
Yeah, no, it's great. And look, they train that a lot with visual cues at training. So they'll set up cones and all sorts of things. And so then really that's what I was alluding to, Rammer, about is it 9.7 or if it's 10.3? Like, don't flirt with stuff that sits in the margins. If it's not a hell yeah, it's an absolute no. And so that's where my problem with the intervention was on Thursday night. But more importantly for me is just let's get our narrative right around what was it for. It wasn't because he didn't stand. It was the protected area.
Yep. Ray Chamberlain with us on AFL Saturday. Something we have seen a return of this weekend is the free kick for crossing the centre line where one ruckman runs and jumps, the other ruckman doesn't jump, and then the laws of gravity can't be suspended mid-air, so the ruckman who's taken off naturally floats over the halfway line and then gives away the free kick for crossing the centre line when his opposing ruckman hasn't.
It's junk.
Saw it four times, twice last night, twice on Thursday night. We were told, Ray, in the pre-season after Brody Grundy tried to stooge that essentially that would be called play on, and yet we've seen four of them across the weekend so far. What's up with that?
Yeah, so prior to this weekend, I'd been writing what's going great so far, right? What are the wins? I was there's a negativity bucket that's chock-a-block, so I was trying to balance it out. And I actually had the impact at centre bounce, centre ball up, and the change to the rule being such a positive thing for the game. I still stand by it, and I thought up until this weekend, the umpires were managing that particular new implementation pretty well, by and large. And then, obviously, we've had these four that popped up. For me, I don't want to lose my vibe on it. I want to just wait and watch and see. You know, was it an overzealous umpire? Was it one or two potential errors and one or two that were correct? I reckon let's that fly as an aberration because, by and large, eight rounds in, I like what we're seeing in the centre of the ground.
I don't know how... Look, it's smart play by the opposition ruckman, but I don't know how the other ruckman can...
Yeah.
Stop that.
And I think it's rubbish that they get penalised for it.
And I don't think they're being asked to, which is my point, right? So I think what happens is if they take off from across the line, so if you launch from across the line, that will be a free kick.
Yeah.
If you launch from your side of the circle and you miss the ball, but you're jumping at the ball, not at your opponent, I think it should be play on.
Well, the umpires are asking both ruckmen to jump now.
The game
so shouldn't it be? Shouldn't the other ruckman that doesn't jump get penalised?
Yes,
and that's the problem, right? If you disincentivise the jumping ruckman, then your problem is you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Correct. So no, I'm aligned with you there, but I think if we look at it over eight rounds, not four examples over one night, I think by and large it's a win. So let's just see if we get some recalibration for those umpires.
Oh, I was just a little worried, Ray. I know you get sensitive when we talk about rules of the week and everything else. I was just worried that maybe there was some kind of a crackdown on the centre line rule. So we'll watch that closely across the rest of the weekend. A couple out of the showdown before we're out. We've got 3 minutes here. First of all, the goal that never was for Wayne Miller with Josh Rochelli giving away the shove on the goal line. How did you interpret that?
I just don't think the contact that... So Rochelli doesn't contest the football, that's fine. Does he make contact? Yes. Does that contact reach a threshold that requires umpiring intervention? My strong position on that is no. And if the AFL try to come out and tell us that it's a warranted free kick, the problem you've got then is, well, can we get KPMG in and roll back over the last 500 and have a look at them?
Well, that's right. I'm okay with that one because I reckon you can almost commit murder on a goal line as a forward and get away with it if you're shepherding.
So, you know, if we just play this game for me for a second, right? If we remove the two, if we switch the players around, so we put Evans where Rochelli was and Rochelli where Evans is, and let's say just Rochelli plants his feet, he's allowed to do that, right? He can stand and hold his ground, and then Evans can crash into him and not get to the ball, and that's fine.
Yeah, but did Rochelli not allow Evans to make a play on the ball by that little shove?
And that's the question. So you need to make that determination. So if your answer is yes, Rammer, then that's a warranted free kick.
Yep.
But where people are going to get upset is you go back over, and as you intimated, by and large, you commit murder on the line and there's no intervention. So the AFL have got to be really clear, and then you've got to live by the sword and die by it, which means they've all got to be paid.
Give me your best 40 seconds, Ray, on the ARC intervention on the Soligo goal.
I'll give you my best 10 seconds. Stay out of it. Right? Like, it gets brought in and we're told this is to ensure that we, you know, we... Because things can happen in footy, right? Goal umpire can be in the right spot, get barreled over. Player can run through their line of sight at the most inopportune time. And we don't want a game decided because of, you know, some serendipitous tech stack of errors, right, or situational things that cause the umpire to play an error. So by all means, intervene then. We were never, ever sold that this is what it's for. Don't do it. Stop it. Just make it make sense and stop it.
Ray, appreciate all that. We'll chat to you in the game coverage in 40 seconds.
Love it.
Ray Chamberlain, our near 400-game umpire, down on the boundaries. He will be throughout the game. Both teams are out there conducting their preliminary warm-up. That is a half hour of power if I've ever seen it.
It was.
That's a lot of issues covered in,
of opinions.
In all of that. You on board with Ray's
Yeah. I could have a conversation with Ray for a long time about all sorts of different things. He's an educator, and that's what I love.
Thanks to you, Rammer. Thanks, Lid. Stick around. The game coverage coming up next. It is Essendon and Brisbane. If you missed any of the episode, you can catch up through ABC AFL Daily.